Father God, we ask that you help us understand what it means to be your people. We ask that you help us to listen. We pray that you may help us to understand our responsibility to the work of your gospel in our lives. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, many years ago, Corrine and I met with three other couples once a month to share a meal. I think back and feel that they were some of the best years of our friendship with these guys. We're still friends now, but 12 kids with 12 kids between us and about an hour apart, at least an hour apart or up to 2.5 hours apart, things look a little different. Well, we can't get together every month. But when we get together, we always eat. Now, I wonder how many of your friendships have developed over a meal. Maybe a glass of red wine, a beer perhaps, or whatever you drink, some sausages or steaks, a lasagna, whatever it may be. It can even be vegetables. When we share a meal with someone, things are different. There seems to be more time to talk. Now, I think that's why our monthly meals with those three other couples were so valuable to us. Because it gave us the chance to talk. It gave us the chance to get past the superficial, to talk about things that really mattered to us. Oh, there were so many things that we shared over those meals. And I think that, you know, I believe that many of those conversations shaped our four families to be who we are today. We continue to meet up. We continue to share meals. We continue to help each other when we need help. All because we grew deeper over meals. And as we look at hospitality today, I want you to see that it's a powerful tool to grow deeper in your friendships with others. Now, it could be together between us, or it could be with people that you don't even know yet. Meals are powerful places. Now, I read somewhere that if you took out all the mountains and the meals out of the Bible, there wouldn't be a whole lot left. There are so many meals recorded because so many things happened around meals and around hospitality. Now, in many ways, this whole series has been building one week on another. So if you think about the love that we're compelled to show, it really does lead us to be generous. And our generosity gives us opportunities to welcome others. And as we generously welcome others, we have the ability to show hospitality. And the act of showing hospitality is really an act of love one for one another. So they're all connected in some small or big way. Because in one way, they all describe who Jesus is and what our gospel doctrine is. And it's at this point that I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14 and have it open in front of you. And we'll look at what it says to us today. So Jesus was invited to the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. We see that in verse 1. And it tells us that they watched Jesus carefully. They waited for him they were waiting for him to make a mistake. And while he's there, he manages to insult everyone. He tells them a story about a banquet just to insult them even more. So let's look at it together. Verses 1 to 6, he asked them if it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath. You see, they were quiet because he caught them out. They can't say it's bad to heal a person at all. They can't say that it's bad to heal a person. It's a good thing. But it's also the Sabbath, so they're unsure how to answer, so they don't. Then Jesus says, well, which of you has an animal fall into the pit on Sabbath and you take that animal out straight away? Again, they're silent. They can't answer because it seems like, well, they would pull their animal out. They wouldn't wait till the end of the Sabbath. The animal would die. So, of course, they would save the animal's life, but they didn't want it to cost them any money. They didn't want to lose their investment. But Jesus can see their hypocrisy, that, of course, healing on the Sabbath is okay because saving the life of an animal is nothing compared to the healing of a person. So why not heal on the Sabbath? Now, it seems like they have rules for the Sabbath, but they don't even keep them when they're going to lose an animal. You see, they're full of pride, these people. So Jesus healed the man who had dropsy. And we need to see that this would have offended them. Then as we move on to verses 7 to 11, Jesus noticed that people took the obvious place of honour at this man's house. There are obviously seating arrangements. The more important you were, the better the seat you got. And Jesus noticed that many of them took the places of honour. They elevated themselves. Again, we see their pride. And Jesus tells them that it's better to pick a lower place so that you can be moved up rather than pick a high place and then be shuffled down. That's humiliating, isn't it? And we can see that in verse 11. He says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." See, Jesus taught them a general principle that they shouldn't exalt themselves. Don't think of yourself better than you are. And at this stage, it seems like Jesus has offended all the guests, but he's not done. In verse 12 to 14, he turns his attention to the man who invited him. Jesus noticed that this man has done something for his own benefit as well. This man's invited people who can return the favour. He held a feast so that people could pay him back for what he was giving them. It was a self-centered dinner. And Jesus calls him out in verses 13 and 14, where he says, "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Now, Jesus wants these men to do things not to get an earthly reward, but to earn the best seat in the house, and not even to earn the best seat in the house when your friend invites you back to repay the meal. Jesus says it's better to invite those who can't pay you back. The hospitality that Jesus describes here is true hospitality. And in this last section, verses 15 to 24, Jesus tells them a parable in response to what one of the men says. And this is where we're going to spend most of our time today. See, after Jesus had offended all of them and told them all how self-centered they are, this man says to everyone, even though Jesus said all these things to them, "Well, isn't it nice that we'll still get to eat in the kingdom of God?" Look at verse 15, where he says, "When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Oh, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God.'" Now, of course, this man's right. Everyone who eats bread in the kingdom of heaven will be blessed. This is the heavenly feast that all people who trust in Jesus will get to enjoy. Again, we need to see this comment for what it is. It's full of pride. Just like those who didn't respond to Jesus' question about the healing on the Sabbath, just like those who took the seats of honor at the table, just like the man who'd invited everyone for his own benefit, this man's comment showed Jesus that he thought he was worthy to eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, on what basis did he think he could eat bread in the kingdom of God? Well, on his own pride. That's what we're seeing throughout this passage, that he was good enough, that he was part of an elite group that was accepted by God. So Jesus tells them a parable in response to what this man said. And the parable is about a great banquet. Now, to make it very clear for all of us this morning, this banquet is a picture of heaven, where everything is ready for all people to come in. And we see that the banquet is ready, but the people are not willing. Now, a banquet without people is nothing, isn't it? And we need to think about this banquet as heaven, and we need to think of this feast as beyond satisfaction. It's over the top. People are fed and satisfied, and then they're fed again and they're satisfied. That there's ongoing satisfaction, and this is why it's a picture of a heavenly feast. Now, the parable itself is about a man who held a great banquet and invited many people. It's a picture of our Father God. So he gave them warning about the banquet, and we can see the resemblance here between heaven and this banquet, can't we? Where in verse 16, many are invited. But as we look at verse 17, it was time for the banquet to begin. So the servant is sent out to tell all who have been invited to come. Everything is ready. Now you can imagine the excitement surrounding the banquet, just like the excitement we have when we think about our heavenly future, or when we think about some great feast that we are going to enjoy, a wedding perhaps. Things are prepared, the time's come, all that's needed for the great banquet to be a success is for the people to come. And this is where we get into a few problems in the parable, because those who are invited reject the invitation. They've been given the invitation, but they have different priorities, and we can see them all in verses 18 to 20. And what we see here is we see people who are more interested in their real estate, their business and their family. Look at verse 18 to 20 and listen to their excuses. Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. The problem of real estate. Well, now in verse 20, verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go and I need to go and examine them. Please have me excused. Well, the business needs attention here. I can't make it. And then the last priority is in verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Now, we can probably empathize with this guy, can't we? I mean, he did just get married. Surely he can be excused from the great banquet. But what this man is saying is in reference to Deuteronomy, where a man would have relief from serving in the army or some other small commitments in the first year of his marriage. But don't get trapped into thinking that these excuses are okay. See, we need to look at them as excuses. These are people who have made up their mind that these things are more important than the great banquet they've been invited to. Again, we can see the relation between heaven and our life on earth, where so many people are focused on real estate, business and family and decide that these things are more important than entering the great banquet with our Father God. Now, before I move on, please don't hear me say that real estate, business and family aren't important. They are important. They are worth us investing in. And let me add, we should apply gospel principles to these areas of our lives too. See, these things help us live out our gospel culture. It's good for us to own homes because we can be hospitable. It's good for us to have a business because it helps us to be generous. And it's good for us to have families because it's a place where we can express the love of Christ. These are all positive things. However, Jesus makes it clear that these things shouldn't be more important than our relationship with God. See, true satisfaction can only be found in Jesus. So what happens next in the parable? Well, the servant comes home and reports what's happened to the master. The master's angry and he says to him in verse 21, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And look at the response of the servant there in verse 22. He says, sir, what you commanded has been done and there's still room. So the master responds again in verse 23. Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. There's that word again, isn't it? That we've seen and heard throughout this series. Compel them. Compel them, just like we saw the love of Christ that compels us to love one another. Here we see the servants told to go out and compel people to come in. The master wants the house full. The house is ready. The banquet's ready. It just needs people. But look at who he wants to compel. It's not the healthy and rich. It's not those with a great real estate portfolio. It's not those with a thriving business or an amazing family. No, this is the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. These are all outcasts. They're the very people that have been rejected by society and they're being invited or compelled to come in. See, it's a surprising banquet, isn't it? You can imagine all the preparation that's been done. I mean, it must have looked amazing. But you want blind people to come and enjoy it? You want the crippled and the lame to hobble around? I mean, surely people who could see the banquet and those who could dance would enjoy this feast a whole lot more. But it's a surprising banquet. And perhaps it would be a banquet that would offend the very people that Jesus ate with that day. But just in case Jesus failed to offend someone in the room, his last sentence would have nailed it, I reckon. Look at verse 24, where he says, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." See, Jesus was at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. No doubt there were other Pharisees there with him, and maybe other important people. These were all people who were given the Old Testament. These were the people who had knowledge of the kingdom of God. These are the very people who had been invited. They knew Yahweh. Yet what did they do with their invite? Well, they had their excuses. They had their reasons for saying no. And Jesus said to them through this parable, "None of them who are invited shall taste my banquet." And what Jesus said here was that for everyone who thought they were good enough and righteous enough to get into heaven weren't invited to the feast. The only way to enjoy the feast is to trust in Jesus. See, the hospitality of Jesus means that all who trust in him get to enjoy the feast. You know, we call this grace, where people who don't deserve to be there get to enjoy the feast because of what Jesus has done for them. This is the hospitality of Jesus. And in many ways, this is what the word hospitality means. I'll just back up for a bit because, you know, I imagine that many of you have heard of the word xenophobia. A xenophobe is someone who has a fear of people they don't know, a fear of stranger, especially a stranger from another country. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, because the word for hospitality in the New Testament is xenophilos, okay? Not xenophobe, not fearful, but xenophilos, which means friend of strangers. See, hospitality is to be a friend to a stranger. And this is a picture of the parable, isn't it? Where the stranger is welcomed in. See, Jesus welcomes the stranger as a friend. He shows hospitality, xenophilos. His hospitality is a picture of the grace that he offers to us. We were enemies of Jesus when we were given an invite to enjoy the great banquet. And the first question for all of us is, are you going to the great banquet? See, none of us deserve to go, but we all understand the love Jesus has for us, and we're compelled to go. So it's our responsibility to look to God and make him our first love. Don't rely on your real estate or your business or your family and what that looks like, but trust in Jesus, who'll show you the hospitality that you need. That's the first response. And I think the second response is for us to grow the culture of hospitality that we've been shown. Now, throughout the series, we've been seeing that gospel doctrine, or what we believe, creates gospel culture, how we behave. And today we see that the gospel doctrine of hospitality, where Jesus welcomes in the stranger. And it's this gospel doctrine that creates a culture of hospitality. We become the friend of strangers. We invite people to our house without the expectation of anything in return. We invite in order to give generously of ourselves as a picture of the hospitality that Jesus has shown each one of us. And so it's our turn to show hospitality. And I think this is where, once again, all these things that we're looking at are a great picture of what Jesus has done for us, where our hospitality comes out of our generosity, and it's going to come out of the way that we love one another. And as we are loving and generous, the power of hospitality will draw people in to be able to enjoy the great banquet that Jesus spoke about in our passage today. See, there's great power in hospitality. When you put people together in a room with food, things go deep and relationships flourish. A book I've been reading by Sam Chan talks about different places for different conversations. He thinks about different meals or locations allow for different types of conversation. And I think it's quite helpful, so I thought I'd share that with you as a way to help us put this into action for this time, even though we're in lockdown. He uses three simple words: coffee, dinner, gospel. Coffee, dinner, gospel. So first off, coffee. Well, when we drink coffee with someone, we talk about each other's interests. It's usually a short time that we spend together. We talk about football, work, your favourite TV show, the weather, what we did on the weekend. He talks about them as factual statements that you don't need to debate. And we listen and we talk, and there's very little chance that we'll disagree. What that means is that this is a safe place to talk. And often it's the place that we'll build trust with someone. We'll find out if we have something in common and we can share in that together. Well, the next step, he says, is dinner. And this is where we talk about values. See, dinner gives us more time to talk. We're able to relax a little bit. The commitment level to one another has gone up. And Sam says that at this level, we can talk about why football is better than motorsport, or why tennis is better than golf. We can talk about why we send our kids to a certain school. Now, often people at this point will make claims about life, claims that we might not agree with. And sometimes we take the opposite stance. And conversations like this often end badly because people disagree with one another. And often we stop being friends. Now, Sam says in his book that this is the art of conversation. See, as we invite people into our space, it's our responsibility to show that they can be vulnerable with us and that it's a safe place to be vulnerable. We want to be the friend. So we prepare the way for them to go to the next level where conversations about the gospel can take place. Now, he's got some good tips in the book about how to judge whether the relationship is at a certain point. And from what I see, it all comes down to being a good listener. Now, the last word is the gospel, where we talk about the last of the three words that Sam shared is the gospel, where we talk about what we believe and we ask questions. What's real? Is there a God? Is there life after death? Where it's not right or wrong to talk about what people believe, because now the relationship is at a point where we can actually wear a very hard conversation together. Now, personally, I found this really helpful. It's a good way to think about the friendships we have and work out what we need to do to move the relationship to the next level, to go deeper with someone, to be a friend of a stranger. See, it's our responsibility to think about how we show hospitality to people so that we can grow our relationship with others. It's made even more difficult because we can't invite people in right now. I feel like for many of us, we're stuck in coffee conversations for a long time to come. But as we think about hospitality today, it should be our joy to create a culture of hospitality. Right now, we need to think of creative ways of doing this. And Fiona shared a few with us a little while ago. But we do it not to create any self-importance, not to gain any benefit for ourselves, not even to be paid back, but because the hospitality shown to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus, because of that, we need to show hospitality to others. See, it's our responsibility to share that message with the stranger and welcome him as a friend. So let's pray. Now, Father God, we thank you for the way that you have shown us hospitality. We thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have been invited to participate in the great banquet. Help us to show hospitality. Help us to think how we can deepen the friendships we have and become good friends to those around us. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.